One step into the light, one step away from night. It's the hardest step you're gonna take. This trip to take you there is waiting at the head of the stairs that lead up through your open mind.
Hello and welcome back to those of you who have been with us, and welcome to those of you who are just joining us. I'm Dr. Robin Falkoff. You are listening to Radio RMN on the MicroEffect Broadcast Network. For those of you who have not heard me before, I am a doctor of oriental medicine and a homeopathic physician. My website is healthfreedomrights.com, and that is pretty much what I am about, our rights, our health freedom rights, all of our rights, our access to information. And I ask you to go to my site and vote. You're going to vote here at TalkStreamLive.com for Raylan Allen for our show. At my site, you're going to use the link to contact your senators and tell them you do not want them to vote for the John McCain bill. But at TalkStreamLive.com, look for Raylan Allen. And be sure to vote, and now the chat room will tell me they're very happy. We have Steve Bassett with us, and Steve's website is paradigmresearchgroup.org. Did I get that right, Steve?
Yes.
Okay. And also Charles Osmond. The chat room has been asking for more information, so I have both of your bios posted, as I mentioned before. Any new listeners wanting to learn more can check out the bios at rumormillnews.com, and I will also be posting them in the blog for our show for people that are in the TalkStream Live website. Are there any coming events for you, Steve? Where will you be speaking next?
Well, and more in general, when you go to paradigmresearchgroup.org, you can find my speaking schedule there. You can also find a link to the facts on Washington.org. We are still driving as much correspondence as possible for the White House Press Corps, and all the information will be at that site. You can also find a link to the X conference. We need people to start signing up right now. Almost all the speakers are in place except one. George Norrie will be one of those speakers. He will have a special presentation luncheon, and we have one more special presenter. But the other eight speakers are in place. You can go see who they are. We need to fill up that ballroom at the National Press Club because we may have some White House congressional staffers there that weekend. We want to show a strong message to them. I will be speaking at the X Conference. I'll also be speaking at the Ozark Conference in the first week of July in Eureka Springs. I'll also be speaking at the Leeds Exopolitics Conference in August. And an event that will be in probably late December or October in Toronto. And in about a week, I'm going to be making a major announcement of a very significant event that the Paradigm Research Group is going to put on later this year. I can't say anything now, but it's going to be a pretty big deal.
Okay, well, that is exciting. And for you, Charles, historianofthefuture.com and soon-to-be.org,
yes.
Any coming appearances where our audience will be able to see you in person?
Well, nothing immediately. I mean, I occupy a somewhat different world. A lot of my stuff is more to do with, you know, venture capital investments and all that kind of stuff. And
okay.
This is kind of why I was being a little bit testy with Steve. Not to say that I disagree with his ideas, I think they're wonderful, but sadly, very, very sadly, when you have these vested interests that have become so hooked into their already existing economic sort of platforms, it's a real process to get them to unravel that. Now, Steve Jobs is one of those, you know, interesting guys that went way outside the mainstream. Now, let me give you the example. And let's just take a real simple one. You look at the media world. You know, people used to, I was once a musician, so I kind of got hooked into the world of record labels and distribution and all that kind of stuff. Okay, fine. So back in the days of vinyl, there was a very specific protocol about how you got your music out there, how it was distributed, who you had to pay, and how you kind of worked that process. And then, of course, when the internet opened up and you had peer-to-peer file exchange, and you had people downloading stuff, and all these things were happening, the media world, especially in Los Angeles and other parts of the world, they were really, really, really not liking this at all. They tried all kinds of strange and crazy ideas to
prevented from happening. Now, of course, as we all know, that all changed. The iPod world was kind of one of the major instigators of that process. But, you know, and you're right. Now they're making more money than they could have imagined. But it took a tremendous amount of, you know, mental crowbars to get these guys to see a different way of looking at things. That's a small example. Now, you expand that by several orders of magnitude to this kind of global energy slash what I think should be free energy and a completely different economic systems model. That's going to take an unbelievable amount of catalyzation. Now, I think Steve's position, if I can speak in my interpretation, is that because of the force that will happen when a post-ET, you know, disclosure world really happens, it'll kind of force a change that the old diehard simply will have to give way to. I'm not sure they're willing to go that far. I mean, these are the folks who might, in fact, want to prevent disclosure because they see too much change to their existing economic systems to be willing to tolerate that kind of a risk. I mean, that was kind of where I was trying to go. I don't disagree with your idea, Steve. I'm just saying, I've met some of these folks from the darker side of the Wall Street mindset. These are not friendly guys. They have a very different worldview. They're not necessarily looking for peace and happiness. They're looking for personal gain and sort of a very myopic vision of how they see their position in the world. And, you know, I'm just giving a sort of a psychological profile that I'm seeing if you have any sense about that.
The next time you see them.
I'm not like part of their inner crew. I'm just saying, you know, I've seen this myself.
That we respect their worldview, but they've got to get ready to change it because they got no choice. Let me talk a little bit about what I think the technological process will be with disclosure. It's not that complicated. Essentially, there are two things we're dealing with respect to the ET physics or the ET technology. One is the physics, and the other is the application.
Sure.
Generally, you cannot patent the physics. Like, you can't patent relativity, and you can't patent Newtonian mechanics.
Oh, people would try.
The release of the ET technology will probably dramatically expand our understanding of physics. Not that the government may already know this physics, but it'll become essentially in the common usage, and that won't be patentable. And so that new physics will spawn a dramatic scientific advancement, but it will also spawn new applications for that physics. Now, that will then generate a huge era of patenting. You will have post-disclosure enormous numbers of patents being filed in the commercial world on applications of this ET physics. Now, some of these applications, the government is probably going to keep to themselves. They're going to say, look, that's national security.
Yep.
We got that. You're not going to be able to go there.
Yep.
Sorry, fella. Okay, that's all right. That's not unusual. That's happened before. There may be some fighting, and there may be some battles that go on between some larger entities that may feel they have a proprietary position.
Yeah.
But it's going to be difficult for the corporations to jump in and say, we were working on that stuff under the national security strictures of the truth embargo, pre-disclosure, and therefore we have a right to it. I don't think that's going to fly. Now, the other thing is that there is no such thing and never will be such thing as free energy. This is a term that I wish had never come into existence. I don't care where the ETs get their energy from. We will never have free energy. There has to be the cost of building plants. There has to be delivery systems.
Yeah.
But the energy could be dramatically less in cost. We could see a paradigm change in cost where we might drop the cost by 98%. We could, what cost you $1 cost you 2 cents.
Yeah.
And if that happens, the effect on the world's living conditions would be profound.
Yeah.
But it will also mean we'll just use more of it. And so it may cost a lot less, but we'll use more of it, and those that deliver it to us will make an enormous amount of money. And so once you dispense with the idea of free energy, it's then easier to dispense with the idea that there's a few guys worth $100 million that think they're going to be worth a little bit less in the post-disclosure world. This is not true. I can assure you that the bankers will be richer, the industrialists will be richer, the technologists will be richer, there will be more jobs, more opportunity, more business development, and countless more patents in the post-disclosure world, which is why in the United States government itself, within the national security arena, we have a strong confidence that the consensus is now definitely for disclosure. It has been for some time. The only problem is it's a big deal. It's like putting on a $4 billion wedding and just arranging the friggin' flowers takes 12 months. I mean, it's kind of like that. And they just haven't gotten it done.
Yeah.
Well, there's another point to take into consideration from research that I've done, and what happens with industry and what we are dealing with in our societies around the world for the way manufacturing takes place and business is handled. There's a transition time before they can change over. So those who are holding all the purse strings so tightly can, you know, get moved out. They will still be holding on to it because it's not going to be a change overnight. And that is part of what has to be built in.
Yeah. But Robin, we have historical precedent for this. We have gone through multiple what we'll call business model transitions and tech transitions just within the last 200 years. The transition, for instance, to the car, to the combustion engine, right? 15 years. The transition to the computer revolution, not the internet revolution, 10 years. The internet revolution came on so fast, most people didn't even see it coming.
Yep.
Business and banking and financial interests thrive on business model changes. They love it. You
they
come
call
up
it
with a business model change that makes things cheaper, and they make a fortune. And this transition that we're talking about has been anticipated for six decades. The government has been working somewhat hand-in-hand with corporate government classified contractors for 60 years. And within that corporate world, whether you're talking about, Raytheon or Martin Marietta, all these companies, they are aware of the ET presence and they know what's going on here. And they've had tons of time to look ahead and say, okay, what are we going to do in the post-disclosure world? And that includes the oil companies, the nuclear industry. If anything, we've had an overlong transition period because of the difficulty, this particular difficult process of making the most profound transition in history. In other words, if the implications were just economic, it would have been done decades ago. But the implications are global and totally comprehensive.
Yes.
So it is a big deal, and that's why it's taken so long. But transition, I mean, just don't worry about the money people. Trust me, they're going to be just fine.
Well, and here's where I might throw a different viewpoint, but I'd certainly appreciate your thoughts. A couple of quick thoughts. By the way, I'm very familiar with Lockheed Martin and their investment in transportation technology, which leads to the development of antiprotons, and we can talk about that some other time if you wish.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've seen my own examples. So, I mean, I'm very much with you on this. So, a couple of quick thoughts. This is where I see things going. At a certain threshold, the life support capacity of the planet is going to be pushed to the absolute edge of failure. In other words, when I said free energy, I didn't mean like it wouldn't cost anything. What I meant was it wouldn't require drilling holes for oil or smelting, you know, materials out of rocks. I mean, we have a whole different way of looking at energy being pulled out of more of a different business model. And I agree with that. I've seen it myself. So, but what we have to deal with is overpopulation, a certain biocapacity limitation that the planet itself can only support, and then it's going to sort of hit a failure point, which means that we have a decision matter. Either we get to migrate off the planet and start to harvest materials from elsewhere, perhaps even possibly elsewhere, or else we're going to go into sort of a downward spiral. That's what I meant by a quarantine, because if ET is watching and we just kind of don't get it together and we're still screwing around all these crazy ideas and never quite get past the point, the logjam, as you put it, we will be seen as a pathology. We'll be seen as like a bad organism about to infest and infect other areas. And it would be to their interest to sort of say, well, they kind of made it, but maybe not really, and okay, better regroup and try it again. In other words, I like the optimistic viewpoint, but I'm still a little bit more of a pragmatist. And unless we solve how to get off the planet and really take a more serious look at controlling our population growth, having a much more organized way of understanding how we deal with our social systems so that it's acceptable to have family planning and a more coherent kind of biosphere management approach, and then look at a more serious way of getting out into space and sort of expanding our resource base beyond what we can pull out of the Earth's crust. Those are the thresholds that I see as the failure points. Tell me where I'm wrong with that.
Well, yeah, and I agree with that. Whether or not we're quarantined or not, those points are valid, and that's again, if we want to put that in the context of disclosure, this issue of population and our capacity, care capacity, is very much more of a worldview question. There are some questions post-disclosure which are pretty much technological, and there are others that are worldview. And population is definitely a worldview. Obviously, our current collective worldview is such that 1.5 billion wasn't enough. We got 3 wasn't enough. We got 6. Now we're on the road to 9 by 2050, maybe more than that after that. So that's our worldview. Disclosure is a worldview changer. It's probably the biggest worldview changer that we are aware of in least recorded history. And one of the two things that needs to happen to move us towards a planet that is no longer overpopulated, and where the idea is you can't have too many people is no longer considered appropriate, is we have to become more Earth aware and more species aware. We have to become more Earth-centered, more species-centered. And what I mean by that is that the awareness as a given collective reality that we are part of a multi-civilization galaxy, and we're not the only smart people, we're not the only group, but we are what we are. We are a unique species, by and large, and this planet is our home. That shift will probably take the biggest change ever seen once disclosure takes place. And that shift the worldview, even if it's only a small amount, but spread across billions of people, may really quickly open the door to the kind of cooperation and the kind of program that will allow us to stop the population growth without violence, without coercion, based on incentives and based on understandings and agreements, plus possibly the addition of some superior and less, how would you say, upsetting birth technologies. And we could cap the population before this century is out and even start seeing it reduced. But again, there is a worldview component there, and disclosure addresses that too.
Okay, guys, we are going to break. This is a brief one, so we will be right back with Stephen Bassett and Charles Osmond and this ongoing discussion that is utterly fascinating at Radio RNN here on the Micro Effect Broadcast Network. I'm Dr. Robin Falco.
We can chill. Close your eyes and look up in between your brows.
Orgon Clockbusters for weather modification. You can bring rain to arid climates and bring energetic balance to your local environment. Are you worried about roadblocks, economic collapse, and forced vaccinations? Orgon provides a blanket of energetic protection to your home and your persons. Orgon, the universal life force, the basic building block of all organic and inorganic matter on the material planet. Coined by Dr. Wilhelm Reich, Orgon has been called by great mystics and philosophers, Kai, Prana, or simply, the Force. Why have I not heard of Orgon? Money and power, plain and simple. In these coming times of uncertainty, Orgon will provide you with the energy to make rational decisions in the face of calamity. Fortunes are made at the flood, and we are headed for the strongest test this nation has faced. Do you have the latest spiritual technologies available to assist you in creating a world of peace and power for the common man? Go to OrgonProducts.org. That's O-R-G-O-N-E products.org. Or call now, 307-200-4503.
The time is now. As the walls are closing in on America, Republic Magazine is a beacon of light guiding those that fight for freedom and the restoration of America. Republic Magazine is the ultimate activist tool. Republic Magazine digs in deep to expose the lies and offers real solutions from the experts. No other publication in America offers the real news like Republic Magazine. Get copies to give to friends, family, and neighbors, or simply order a subscription for yourself at republicmagazine.tv. Get informed and stay informed with Republic Magazine, the ultimate resource for your fight against the New World Order. Claim your free digital copy now or order a print subscription online at www.republicmagazine.tv. That's republicmagazine.tv. Or call them toll-free at 800-873-1620. That's 1-800-873-1620.
One step into the light, one step away from night.
It's the hardest step you're gonna take. The ship to take you there is waiting at the head of the stairs that lead up through your open mind.
Hello and welcome back to Radio RNN. I'm Dr. Robin Falkoff. We are coming to you on the Micro Effect Broadcast Network, and we are having an extraordinary show with our guests Charles Ozin and Stephen Bassett. For those of you at TalkStreamLive.com, please remember to go and vote for Raylan Allen and check the blog for the show because I have the links there as well for the bios for both Stephen and for Charles. Okay, guys, where'd you leave off?
Well, I was just kind of countering that I take a sort of more pragmatic view. I like the model that Steve projects. I think it's plausible. But I've just also seen kind of what the other side looks like. And sadly, it only takes a small number of sort of, fanatical diehards to invent something that will kind of prevent what should be the case becoming the case. And that was kind of where I was trying to go. And I think that the major objective at the moment would be this sort of, we hit a life support capacity to the planet that it's either going to be a go or no-go point. And population growth is the main driver of that process. I mean, virtually everything that we've seen so far. I mean, the next big war is, as many people know, I work for several NGOs myself. I'm personally called Millennium Project. I also work with something called Institute for Global Futures. We look at lots of data, all kinds of trends. We measure how science affects technology, transitions and economics and that sort of thing. And the next thing around the corner is going to be water wars. I mean, that's kind of like the next big deal. And a lot of people, they're just stuck in these old paradigms. I see the vision that Steve has. I agree with it. I support it very strongly. But there's another world out there. And some of these folks are just going to cling like barnacles to a rock. And so I guess what the basic overall vision is, when post-disclosure happens, it will cause enough of a world you change that people won't listen to these kind of diehards anymore, and they'll just sort of say, okay, look, this is the new paradigm, and these guys are not with it, and we should go forward. I'm hoping that's the case. I'm just saying there's a variable there. And the other thing is, I'm not sure I follow that the ET outlook on our world is going to be consistent with one direction. I just think that there's going to be some are going to be less benevolent than others. That's kind of my own personal theory, but it's just a way of looking at it. I'm not sure I'm going to see the most optimistic outcome. There's a series of variables, you know, like a spectrum from 1 to 10. You can pick a number somewhere between. I don't know. I mean, do you see what I'm trying to get at, Steve, or am I going off on a tangent that doesn't quite match what you're saying?
If you're struggling with trying to assess, given what we know, and what we know is incomplete, what's going on and what's likely to happen, and we all have to do this.
Yeah.
And the problem is because of the truth embargo, the amount of this kind of thinking is not nearly as ubiquitous as it needs to be. It needs to be going on all across the country and universities and colleges and everything else, but it's obviously that's not happening.
Yeah.
But the points I would make is this. One, don't think about these diehards as like, oh, these are the people that absolutely can't have this happen, and they're going to oppose it. The people that are somewhat stuck maybe in the old paradigm, that doesn't mean that they're not going to be a benefit in the new paradigm. And it doesn't mean they're not ready to make the change. They may not be comfortable, but that doesn't mean they're not ready to do it. And as far as the ET agenda, I don't know what the ET agenda is. And I don't speak to it too much. I mean, I can speculate on it, but I assume there's multiple species and multiple agendas, and we'll be dealing with multiple civilizations. And it's going to be rather complicated. Whatever, the ET technology I'm talking about is not theirs, it's what we have. And we have it in our lab right now. And let's put a dot on this I. You mentioned water.
Mm-hmm.
There was a report put out around 2000 called the Global Trends 2015 report. It was put out by, I believe, the CIA. And it was a real dark assessment of what was coming up.
I have a copy of it on my computer. I know about it, yes. But go ahead, please.
And then the Department of Defense followed up with also a study that also was very dark, and they projected wars over food, wars over water, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, fine. The ET physics, with respect to that energy source, if it's as good as we think it is, and it's able to tap into a source and generate power at a far more cost-effective way.
Mm-hmm.
It opens up some huge portals into the solution matrix.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them deals with water. And also, by the way, there's also the propulsion systems. The anti-gravitic propulsion systems, which we know we have made progress with, and have, I think,
I've seen them flying around, so I'm not going to
are non-trivial.
Yeah.
And so if those were now fully engaged, if we could bring that tech into the public arena, first of all, you have the matter of water. Desalinization creates purest water you can imagine. And it's very simple technology. It just happens to be incredibly expensive.
Yes.
If you drop the price of energy dramatically by 80-90%, it thus makes it possible to build desalinization plants around the world and provide from the oceans all the fresh water you could ever need to grow all the food you could ever want. And the anti-gravitic propulsion probably would make it quite easy to just tow icebergs.
Yeah, no, I was talking about
the Arctic. Park them off the coast of unarable areas and produce unlimited amounts of water piped directly from underneath that melting berg. All of this could be, the process of that could be initiated tomorrow if we could get that tech out.
Well, here's our
own government is saying beware of wars over water while it sits on the technology that could solve that problem. And so we have this cognitive dissonance, we have this kind of conflict, and it's a Gordian knot, and the knot has to be cut, and the sword that cuts it is disclosure.
Okay, here's where I would respond. We have gravity wells in demand. That's where you're going. There's gravity wells in demand by about 10 different things at once, a couple of which are elongation or the elasticity of the time space continuum, which buys you a whole bunch of things all at once. It's not just better energy. It means you can suddenly dart around the universe, or dart around our solar system without rockets, which is a whole big deal by itself. It means you have the capacity to perform transmutation of elements with very low energy cost. That's another gigantic deal. And the numbers always can happen simultaneously. It's like a gigantic burst. And that would empower the humans on this planet to have the keys to the kingdom, or like the next kingdom to be had, as it were. That's where I'm a little questioning, because you don't just get one, you get the whole thing at once. You get fantastic energy resources, you have the ability to, sort of leave the planet and go elsewhere, you have the ability to sort of mine asteroids or anything else that might come to mind, you have the ability to play with time-space continuum and, go a little further into those areas, and we can talk about that off the air if you wish. But all these things are kind of there at the same time. The question I would have, do we have the spiritual maturity, like the 13-year-old kid you're talking about, to actually have those toys and know how to use them without making a lot of trouble and a lot of mess?
That's not a matter of spiritual maturity.
I'm sorry, excuse me?
We didn't have the spiritual maturity for nuclear weapons. Spiritual maturity for bioweapons, but we did them anyway.
Yeah, we sure did. I know
technology, whether we're ready for it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And we've already reached the carrying capacity of the planet, and here's how I know why.
Yeah.
In terms of our relationship to the planet, because we can't take care of our own species.
Yeah.
We have X number of people dying every day because we can't carry them.
Yeah.
About 25,000 of those are children. So we've hit the carrying capacity in terms of defined it as ability to sustain your species and not have them die necessarily. And those deaths are not a matter of spiritual maturity. There's no other people dying because they've got enough water, they haven't got enough food.
Yeah,
and so if you've got technology that can bring that and solve that problem, you get it going. Now, the other point I'll make is this. When you say all at once, look, this tech and this new physics will be substantially controlled by government and corporate and large entity institutions. The knowledge of the physics will be out there, and people will start to work on it, and there will be some progress independent, but they're not just going to dump it out there and like a garage sale, everybody rushes to get it. There will be a substantially controlled process going on that people will want to go as fast as possible, but will not just be instantaneous. And so I'm not really concerned about, what happens if all this stuff is on our plate tomorrow. It's been under the control of government for 6 decades, and they're going to have quite a bit of say in how it unfolds after that. So that is, to me, not a concern.
Okay, guys, we are at the bottom of the hour, and we will come back to that point when we return. I'm Dr. Robin Falcoff for Radio RMN here on the Micro Effect Broadcast Network. with my guests today, Stephen Bassett and Charles Osmond, and we'll be returning in just a moment.
In between your brows, then slowly breathing in, feel the life force streaming in. Hold it there, then send it back to me. All the old things are returning.
Orgon Clogbusters for weather modification. You can bring rain to arid climate and bring energetic balance to your local environment. Are you worried about roadblocks, economic collapse, and forced vaccinations? Orgon provides a blanket of energetic protection to your home and your persons. Orgon, the universal life force, the basic building block of all organic and inorganic matter on the material planet. Coined by Dr. Wilhelm Reich, Orgon has been called by great mystics and philosophers Kai, Prana, or simply the Force. Why have I not heard of Orgon? Money and power, plain and simple. In these coming times of uncertainty, Orgon will provide you with the energy to make rational decisions in the face of calamity. Fortunes are made at the flood, and we are headed for the strongest test this nation has faced. Do you have the latest spiritual technologies available to assist you in creating a world of peace and power for the common man? Go to OrgonProducts.org. That's O-R-G-O-N-E Products.org. Or call now, 307-200-4503.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, buddy.
How come we have a bunch of emergency food stashed in a basement?
Well, it's down there because there are things going on in the world that concern me that I think could potentially interrupt our food supply. And if that happens, I don't want us to starve.
You mean we could, like, go to the grocery and there wouldn't be anything in there?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Well, a lot of ways that could happen. And if it does, there are a bunch of people are going to starve. And it's my job to make sure that you don't.
Thanks, Dad.
And I don't want to starve either. And that's why we got food from the freeze-dry guy. It's the best long-term storage food you can get. And if it comes to that, we'll be ready.
Dad?
Yeah?
Some people say you're kind of a crackpot, but you make a lot of sense.
Well, thanks, I think.
Get your supply of the best long-term storage food available. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguide.com.
What if there was a technology that could assist you in breaking a lifetime of bad habits? Condense 10 years of spiritual growth into a few months rather than years. Would you do it? Would you feel like you are cheating? Change does not have to be difficult. The bioresonance technology is 20 years in the making, a culmination of Bill Kirkland's spiritual quest. Bill has created an electronic aid for mankind to make the next great leap to full consciousness. How? The bioresonance machine removes fear of negativity based on the United Field Theories of Burkhard Helm. Metron Calculus opens up access to the fifth and sixth dimension for health and personal power. Break through those glass ceilings and become a man of the ages with unlimited energy and spiritual power. Go to AscensionEnergyProgram.com to find out more information or to sign up for your $35 trial month. Go to AscensionEnergyProgram.com right now or call 307-200-4503.
The time is now. As the walls are closing in on America, Republic Magazine is a beacon of light guiding those that fight for freedom and the restoration of America. Republic Magazine is the ultimate activist tool. Republic Magazine digs in deep to expose the lies and offers real solutions from the experts. No other publication in America offers the real news like Republic Magazine. Get copies to give to friends, family, and neighbors, or simply order a subscription for yourself at republicmagazine.tv. Get informed and stay informed with Republic Magazine, the ultimate resource for your fight against the New World Order. Claim your free digital copy now or order a print subscription online at www.republicmagazine.tv. That's republicmagazine.tv. Or call them toll free at 800-873-1620. That's 1-800-873-1620.
One step into the light, one step away from night. It's the hardest step you're gonna take. The ship to take you there is waiting. mine.
Hello and welcome back to Radio RNN here on the Micro Effect Broadcast Network. I'm Dr. Robin Falcov with my guest today, Charles Osman and Stephen Bassett. We are talking about so many exciting areas, alternative energy research, the impact of the disclosure of ET intelligence and contact and participation in our world, and what impact that will have. And I just, you know, always come back to the fact of so much technology that is hidden in the black ops community and trickled out to our population in tiny little pieces over 20 to 30 year periods. And we have things now that, I mean, have been out there. We have all the technology. After World War II, Joseph Farrell has done incredible research documenting the Bell and many of the other Nazi so-called black technologies. And then we have Richard Hoagland's own work with torsion technology, the ability to actually show another type of energetic that's present. So we have a lot here, and we have a lot to work with. I think our main problem is getting those powers that be out of their entrenched positions. How do you guys feel?
Well, it's not a single entity, and this is where it probably gets a little confusing.
That's why I made it plural, those powers.
I mean, there's a lot of different fragments, and let me put this another way. Yes, I spent a lot of time with the venture capital world, which, by the way, has really taken a hard hit. I mean, money was being made a couple of years ago. It's not being made now. It's actually kind of sad. If you go to Sand Hill Road or the other locations in the heart of the Silicon Valley where I spend my every day, wearing a suit and giving presentations and raising funds, that's kind of disappeared. It's still there, but it's really taken a hard hit. A lot of money was lost in this sort of mortgage-backed security debacle, and that's a whole different discussion. But so things have kind of changed in that way. But when I was part of that community, and I still am a little bit, I was really impressed by the number of people who have shifted gears. And I'm talking about Townsend and Crew, Deloitte and Touche, and some of the big patent attorney law firms, international IP law firms, that kind of thing, who have really taken on a much more green/kind of planetary awareness. I mean, these are folks who have really come out of the center stage of that world, who themselves see the planet being fragile. They know that biodiversity is important. They get it that if we start to get into water wars and oil wars and everything else, nobody wins. I mean, they get it. So, I mean, there's been a tremendous amount of change in the finance world that says, yes, we want to be putting money into technologies that will alleviate these pressures and have a very realistic, practical way of shifting those guards, as it were. I see it myself, and so I'm encouraged for that. When I work with former Soviet military scientists who were the very entities that we were aiming our, special weapons at, themselves, say, look, we see this too. We don't want this anymore than anyone else does. What can we do? I mean, it is amazing to see that change. I don't want to deny that transition is happening. I'm very much on board with it. The more I see them, otherwise I would be discouraged myself. All I'm saying is that it's still a fragmented realm out there. And I have met a pretty broad stretch of folks, from very enlightened to will never be enlightened. It's a broad spectrum, but it's still there. And it's kind of that's what I'm saying. I'm not quite convinced. I mean, I don't want to discourage the authors, but I'm just saying I prepare myself for sort of worst versus best case scenarios and try to pick something in the middle of the curve. That was kind of my general position. See? Ready, Mike?
Okay.
I don't think.
All I can say is that the forces behind this transition are massive, more massive than the Copernican Revolution, the Newtonian Revolution, the Einsteinian Revolution, and other transitions we've seen in history. They are being fed by outside influences, meaning the extraterrestrials themselves are driving the process, and they have enormous resources available to them.
Yeah.
And so whatever one's disposition, philosophy, religion, and level of comfortability is, I wish them all well, but get ready, because the disclosure event is coming, and the post-disclosure world is about to be here, and you just need to get ready for it. My job is to help make that happen.
Okay.
I don't have a lot of time or money. You talk about the venture capital world a hit.
Yeah.
Well, what the venture capital world
considers taking a hit would be, for me, an extraordinary explosion of wealth. When they're completely wiped out and have absolutely nothing, they can come and have a drink with me, and we can actually, you know, talk as peers.
Yeah.
But
they're not all as bad as you might think. There's some good guys in there.
Yeah. This deal we're involved in is so big that it is tough for anybody to see it. It's like standing next to a mountain. I mean, literally up against the side of a massive mountain and trying to describe the mountain from that position. It's very hard.
Yeah.
But that's what we're doing. It's huge. And so you try to focus on certain key fundamentals. And the disclosure event and the lead process leading up to it is where I focus. And there's so much going on that supports that transition that I don't have to look too much to the side to know that this process is now a done deal, and we just need to get it done. Now, again, but there is still one concern.
Please.
Disclosure is inevitable and soon, but will it be soon enough? And if we were to have a nuclear event or a war with Iran that got out of hand,
or a biological event, that I think is what's coming around. But yeah, either one.
I could see disclosure getting delayed for another 15 or 20, 25 years or longer, and I think that would be a terrible thing because the population is going to hit 9 billion by 2050, and we'll, at that point, we may have 150,000 children dying a day from lack of resources. So we really can't afford any more delay on this, and that's why the people have got to get behind the disclosure movement now more than ever. Let's get it done. Let's get across the finish line here, and then you can take a breather, have some water, and relax. But
if we cross the finish line,
we cannot relax.
I'm going to squeeze in one more question, and this is a science side of this, but I've spent quite a few years sort of nibbling at this intersection of biophysics and quantum physics and consciousness. It may be a little too far out from your perspective, but walk me for a minute. I've seen some very, very hard evidence that suggests that collective consciousness does, in fact, have a real effect on physical systems. You probably know about Roger Nelson and the GCD project and some other projects which are kind of quietly brewing in the background, which they kind of suggest this rather strongly. I even sort of have my own ideas about how to develop a system that would use photonic interaction as a way to indicate this kind of biophysical intersection with the quantum domain. Now, I'm going to suggest to you that this is old hat, this is mundane to ET. They are well beyond this kind of thing. They understand our thoughts and our way of being, and they get the whole panorama of the ups and downs and the foibles of the human condition. We can't hide from them. Unlike us humanoids, who have to go through the complexity and also the clumsiness of conversation and positioning and politics and saying one thing and being another, blah, blah. ET is not limited by that. They sort of see it all because they're in a different realm of interaction. So they kind of sense what the larger picture is. And we're just now tapping into the science of that process. I would submit to you that there is a military interest in this science as well. I've had my own encounter with people that sort of think that way. And if we, look, I mean, nuclear war is pretty bad. Biological war is even worse. But if we stumble into this sort of quantum consciousness domain and use it as a kind of a military vehicle, which some people see it as such, this would be a really bad, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, at what point do you think the ET would say, okay, they've gotten too far, they're not mature, it's just not working out, what do we do now? I mean, do you see that kind of an outcome, or what do you think about the quantum consciousness realm at all? I mean, do you have some ideas about that?
First of all, the extraterrestrials, they see the planet as a whole. They're looking at the collective.
Yeah.
And so, you know, some individual here, some thing over there, they're looking at the collective. And so they assess us as a collective worldview.
Yeah.
In other words, it's what is the collective worldview of the human race? What's going on in the collective, not what's going on in that country or this particular institution, whatever. Okay, that's the first thing. In terms of collective consciousness, look, I'm aware of it. It's interesting. I think we have a better chance of knowing more about it in the post-disclosure world. We're going to have a better chance of knowing about everything once we start diminishing the amount of things which are held from us. The size of the secret empire is too large. It needs to be reduced dramatically. We need to have more open, less closed. All of this will lead to greater understanding. And of course, if we have open contact with extraterrestrials, where we're actually in formal relations with them, who knows what things we may learn from them and what technology might be shared. But you know, when it comes to this idea, we might use this for war or that for war. Look, if we were so disposed, the human race could go to war with each other tomorrow and kill each other with soup spoons, right?
They well, I said that it would be six
and beat each other to death with them. So
yeah.
You know, it's really not a matter of the tech. It's a matter of your view, your world view. If you want to go to war, you will go to war. You don't need any particular tech to do it. And so we need a world view change. And so it's less about is there a weapon available, but what, how do you view yourself and your species and the planet? And disclosure offers that world view change that we've been waiting for a very long time. In fact, the history of the last 8,000 years has been one group of people after another looking for a world view change that would move us away from our more primitive reptilian origins. And allow us to operate in a manner that in a sense that is more appropriate to a self-aware animal, and allow us to live in a world that works. And that worldview change has been elusive, though we've made many attempts at it. This is probably it. This is the one we've been waiting for, and we just have to get it done. And then we'll see how it goes afterwards. But we're still going to have to work. We're still going to have to work on the post-disclosure world. We're just going to have a more, I would say, fertile soil to work in my opinion, and a little better optimism, I think, that we will solve some issues that we now consider unsolvable.
Okay, I just thought maybe I might have some thoughts about this sort of empathic realm that just sounds kind of, you know, fluffy. I'm telling you something we're getting science of. I mean, we actually are tapping into that, and that's a very powerful realm, and I think that the ET has, in fact, in their own way, use the empathic realm as part of their communication process. I mean, I would venture to say that... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, we know from the evidence that they're fully telepathic. So in a post-disclosure world, the idea of telepathic communications will be standard operational procedure. The only issue will be, how telepathic can we get? The realms that will be opened up, it's just beyond comprehension. I mean, you'll have kids lining up around the block to sign up for science courses and science majors in college, and new fields of study will open up. Parapsychology will explode around the world. You could go on and on and on. And so I'm encouraging people, start thinking less about how the post-disclosure world will be restrictive and think more about how expansive it will be.
Yeah.
Because the case can be made much, much more effectively, in my view, for a profoundly expanded world for us to be living in post-disclosure. And
well,
we need to concentrate there to ensure that we get there.
Yeah, I'm certainly up for the glass half full version. Believe me, that I strongly understand what I'm saying. I'm just trying to play a little bit of devil's advocate because this is the world that I've faced. And I want to give the better version a try, but I'm always, like I said, I'm always looking at both ends of the spectrum. I suppose that at a sort of no-go point, if the planet looks like failure, we would probably be seen as a dangerous technology to sort of kept here. But on the other hand, it would be to their interest, to nurture a more positive outcome, because that's what makes the ecosystem, the cosmic ecosystem, a more functional ecosystem. I mean, so if I tend to believe they'd be leaning on the positive side from their perspective for their own reasons, if I could be that bold.
Well, look, I think the simple physics and common sense will lead one to this conclusion. First of all, we are not a threat to extraterrestrials. And it's the nature of the world we live in. I can assure you, if they do not want us out there beyond our solar system or even beyond our planet, there is not a chance in hell we could get there. And so we're not a threat to them. We are a threat to ourselves, but not to them. So they are not worried about us. They're not worried about us coming out and causing them trouble. They may be fully aware that the idea of a planet that breeds itself to an extraordinary level and then flees its own misery and suffering and goes and tries to colonize other places is not an effective way to conduct your affairs. The idea we pull it off and say, oh, there's 100 billion people living on the planet now. We're going to move 550 billion of them to your solar system, and they will say, you know, dude, you won't even make it to the asteroid belt, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You might as well just get used to, like, you know, 100 people living in a one-bedroom flat,
yeah,
because you're not going anywhere. So again, I mean, let's keep things in perspective.
Yeah.
Whatever they're going to do, they're going to do.
Well, back to perspective.
What we're going to do.
Yeah.
But back to perspective, guys, you know, we have a large planet and we have technology and abilities to change things to make it a better life for everyone that is on this planet. You know, population control and reduction is just a better means of controlling what we have, you know, and keeping their hands, you know, tight over the control of everything, of all the power, of all the resources. It's there for more people.
If we do not get control of our population, we will lose control. Look, you know, if you look at some of the overpopulated parts of the world, do you think that the massively overpopulated areas of India, that those people have more control over their lives and the ability to influence the massive institutions around the world because they have so many people jammed in little villages? No. Overpopulation leads to less control.
But Steve, not the paradigm we're living in. If we had all the technology that has been concealed, there's no reason for people to be tightly packed like that. There's no reason for.
Yes and no.
Look, if we get free energy, there will be an argument. I said free energy. Forgive me. There are people who are arguing, oh, great, now we can have 200 billion people here because we can probably...
Well, there are some benefits of the
energy that may be cheap. The topsoil is still limited. There are still... you can cram 3,000 people into a gymnasium so that they're shoulder to shoulder. And the fact that you could provide water and food to them so they're not going to die of starvation or thirst, does that mean that... 1,000 people in 2,000.
No, because the point I'm making is the 180 degree opposite, that none of that is necessary with the proper technology. The way the world is set up now, we have to have population reduction.
But that also means, Robin, that you're expecting them to think logically, and a lot of people don't think logically. That's the logic is like a disease for many. They just, you know, they can't.
They run.
Yes, exactly.
We have X amount of square footage of land space on this planet. We have X amount of topsoil.
There's hydroponic gardening. There's so many other ways of doing things. We're not limited. That idea of limitation, that's a problem.
Well, I have one more thought.
Are you saying that there's... What is the limit then for our population size? Any?
I don't have an answer. I don't have a number.
Well, wait a second.
Right. But unless we have an answer for that, unless we start to decide about, is the population of Mexico City okay at 150 million?
I agree with you.
The number of children dying, so we have to decide.
No, Steve, I'm agreeing with you for the way things are now, definitely not. We can't handle the population that is.
So first you bring your population under control, and then when you have an Eden on Earth where everybody has enough, and children are not dying unnecessarily every day, and then you can get together as nations and say, okay, I think we've got room for another bill, so let's get cracking here, folks. But the idea that, oh, no, there'll be some tech someday that'll help solve this problem, so keep breeding and
That's not the point, and that's not what I'm saying. The tech is here. We're just not going to have access to it.
I have a different view.
Go ahead, Charles. We got just a brief time left.
Okay. Here's one of the things that I've encountered with the Millennium Project, many others, that look at the intersection of employment, economic distribution patterns, microfinancing versus macrofinancing, that kind of thing. What we find in many parts of the world is there are not enough jobs and not enough reasons for people to even exist in the current economic template.
Absolutely.
What you have are people that have no jobs, no career, no nothing. They're just sort of there. And the world that they once had come from, where you had to have a large labor pool to hand manufacture and hand grow things, and those all things that people used to do in a tribal existence, doesn't fit into a rapidly changing world. There's a lot of people that tend to look at this as like a burden, like a consumption of biomass with no production output. That's a really tough model to kind of work with. That's where a lot of people are going with this. What do you mean? That's one of the problems that we see right now.
I totally agree. We have a fairly simple equation here. If we do not come together as a species and say, look, we have a responsibility to have a population level we can sustain.
Yeah.
And we need to find that level. If we do not do that, then I assure you, nature or
fight
a group of dark, demonized people, demonic people, will do it for us.
Yeah.
And so putting that issue off and off and off and off is a huge mistake.
Yes.
And that's why disclosure is so important, because it not only provides the kind of technology that can address the human condition, it provides the worldview change that may allow us to finally sit down and say, yeah, I don't want to live 25 people to a condo. I don't want to have a nation, have parts of the world that have 1.6 billion people, and there isn't a clean body of water anywhere in sight.
Right.
Enough is enough. And so we need to make this decision soon. And so the population issue, boy, it is at the center of this matter one way or another, and I'm very big on that, but I don't get into it often.
Okay.
Without disclosure, it's probably not solvable.
I understand. Okay, that's fair enough. That's a good answer. Well, you know, that's the one thing I look at every single day.
Well, guys, we are winding down, and if you have closing comments or information you'd like to give out, this is your opportunity to do so, and I certainly hope in the very near future, both of you can come back after we've had disclosure.
I would like to try that. I'd like to, expand this conversation further. Try looking at historianthefuture.org. That'll be coming up in a few days, and there'll be stuff to download. And that's my, two cents.
Okay, and for you, Stephen?
Well, I'd like to say this. Charles' background and so forth is such that he was on an absolute drive in the post-disclosure world, so I kind of envy him.
Mind-blowing.
Look, the X Conference in May is so important. We need people to come. X-conference.com. We need you to come show your support for this issue two blocks from the White House. So I look forward to seeing as many of you as possible in Washington, D.C., May 7-8-9.
That is wonderful. I thank you all for staying with us. I'm Dr. Robin Falca for Radio RMN here on the Micro Effect Broadcast Network. Stay tuned for Stairway to Health. And I do not know yet if you will have me here tomorrow or our Raylan. I've got to find out what the latest update is and how everything went today. But if it is Ray or if it is me, guys, you know you're in for an exciting show. So stay with us until next time.